Very interesting conversations to be had. The Ghana Under 20 team there in Egypt, they will kick off their campaign on May 2, which is next week. So we'll try and look at the Desmond Affairs team and what they've been up to in that period. They've been away for a week now, and Desmond Affairs has been speaking about the importance of having a long period in Egypt to acclimatize. So it's a wonderful thing, he says, that the team is there early. They would, before they kick their first game, they would have been there at least 2 weeks to acclimatize to the conditions. Remember, Ghana has not been to the Under 20 World Cup since 2015, so it's been 10 years. So Affair is trying to do something that's not been done, that we failed to do in the last 10 years. Has he got the team well equipped enough to do it? How have their preparations been? We'll try and get into that conversation. Also, tomorrow, Saturday, April 26th, the Ghana Olympic Committee will elect new leaders for the next 4 years. The GOC president, Benigno Mensah, has already decided that he will not seek a third term, having completed 2 terms in office. After first coming into office in 2017, then retaining power in 2021, he says he will not stand for re-election, which means that we will have a new president leading Ghana's multi-sport governing body. And two people have put their names out there, Mike Agri and, of course, Akpo Kavi. They have put themselves up for election as president for the Ghana Olympic Committee. That's not the only position that will be up for grabs. They will also be electing new executives from first vice president, second vice president, third vice president, general secretary and treasurer forming the executive committee. Then they will have representatives from five Olympic sports. They will have representatives from non-Olympic sport. They will have representatives from affiliate bodies. All of them joining the governing board of the Ghana Olympic Committee. So the elections will tell you what the dynamics are, who is who, and why we should be excited about their mandate. That's what it is. But as usual, it is not a Ghana Olympic Committee election without court issues. Okay, so we'll tell you which group of people have decided that they will resort to court actions to seek redress. But their concerns mainly stem from the delegates list presented by one entity called the Ghana Olympians Association. So we'll get into that issue here on the show as well. Liverpool will be champions this weekend. They just need to avoid defeat in their Premier League game. That became possible after Arsenal were held to a 2-2 draw by Crystal Palace. We'll look ahead to the weekend's games as well here on the show. The show is partly brought to you by Betway and Petrosol. The sports minister has also been talking a lot about so many issues, including why he doesn't think it's important for government to fly supporters to World Cup or to competitions to begin with. That's generated quite a debate. Should the government be flying supporters to competitions or not? 055-111-1997. That's the WhatsApp number. 055-111-1997. Do send us a WhatsApp message. Let us know your thoughts on all the issues we'll be discussing here as well. The big news so far this week is that Mohamed Kudus has been linked to a 100 million euro move to Saudi Arabia to join Cristiano Ronaldo and Sadio Mane at Al Nassr. We asked the question whether or not he should take the deal. He should move to Saudi. Kudus is 24. He's 25 in August. Is that the right time for him to move to Saudi Arabia? He could possibly be earning something in the region of $300,000 to $400,000 after tax every week. He's currently on £90,000 gross salary. 40% of that goes to the UK government in tax. So give or take, he probably earns maybe around $50,000 as salary at the moment. You compare that to what he could possibly be earning in Saudi Arabia. Should that money be enough motivation for him to leave and go to Saudi? Or you would say, as a 25-year-old talented footballer, He still needs to stay in Europe and strut his talent around a little bit. Maybe a few more years. I don't know. But that is something that I put that tweet and asked that question. So far, there's been over 350 people who have responded. Surprisingly, majority of them are backing Mohamed Kudus to go to Saudi Arabia. That's an interesting take. All right, welcome to the show. We're live on Facebook and on X Spaces as well. We're streaming on video on the Joy 99.7 FM handle. Also on YouTube on the Joy FM handle. Show proudly sponsored by Betway and by Patrosol. Achuta Maklo is here with me. Daniel Kranting is here as well. And Sitcho Fefeleva Chrum. I don't know if he's late, but he will be here very shortly as well to join the show. Danny K, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm very, 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 very well.
You look very happy, and I don't know why. Achuta Maklo.
Life is good, Charlie. Life is good. Of late, Achu is wearing some African prints.
Because he's free. You forgot, see?
Okay. Ah, now the things.
The Woody, no.
That is making sense. Not because he dropped like back to back to back to back. I say, ah. Charlie.
Please sit down. Sit down and defend yourself.
He dropped some back to back to back this thing. I don't even
know. Achu Chasam. Sit down and defend yourself. It is free, oh, Danny K. It's free. HR is giving out the Woody for free. So, Achuta Maklo, no. He's wearing the thing by heart.
Now the thing is.
Say, you got some?
Yeah, I got some, but like my own chair.
Wait, you only have one batch?
Well, just one batch. No, have not had the second one. But if you like Achu. Actually, he logoed the thing.
Achu has gone to bribe the.
He logoed the thing.
He's gone to bribe Harriet.
I mean, they're in the same place. they are from the same place.
From the same place?
Yeah, meba sa. Then.
Then you go bribe Harriet. Quick. Collected more.
Ah, you know, see the suits have actually get like double.
Achu, how are you doing?
Why are the two of you laughing hysterically?
No, you missed out. I was asking you to sit down and defend yourself. You're not minding me. So now whatever has been said, you didn't hear, and therefore you have no defense.
If it's not taking money away from me...
Trust me, it's taking a lot of credit away from me.
I said money. Nothing has been lost.
No. Credit translates.
Granting has an allegation. So these days you've been donning Woodin African print left, right, and center.
He said the whole week,
different one. No, he said the title of washing is not the reason. He said the reason is... Danny K said the reason is that... he said because multimedia is dashing out the hoodie free, so he didn't buy. And he said, he also got some, but he got one batch. It seems like he went back to bribe Harriet. And now he said... he's connected and not. You are from the same place. You have used Mibasa.
Then he's collecting. He's just collecting. Charlie, back to back. Since last Friday.
Now, how many at all were you giving? It's just, I have them. I'm tired of washing. I don't want to iron again. For as long as I feel like not ironing, I'll wear them.
Cranton says that his issue is not the fact that you are wearing.
What's back to back?
He says it's plenty too much. So he's obsessed. But,
so you see this one?
Yes.
I also noticed that I'm outgrowing a lot of them.
When did he get them?
The point is, I don't wear them.
Outgrowing
when
them.
Did he get them?
The point is,
you have even the whole multimedia. You have been here for 14 months.
Wait, I shock.
So when did you?
When did you get them?
You see, that is what you are outgrowing. That is what. So you are assuming everyone. Each of what I wear comes from the company.
Oh, but we recognize them. Don't do that. I will recognize the cross.
This one you can't deny. We know this one.
This cross here, we know this cross.
Yeah.
It's been like a year.
The one you wore yesterday, I know it.
Thank you.
It's been like a year. I've never worn it. And I realize that it's all becoming like slim fit. Meanwhile, I'm not skinny.
Hey, wabo. Charlie.
So I have to wear them.
Charlie, I didn't go to the gym.
In fact, I have to wear them. We were both not wearing the thing. The other day, a few months ago, you came to tell me that because Harriet complained, you had decided to wear yes. African print all through the week.
Yes.
Yours was Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Did yes. anybody complain?
No, yours is back to back. Yours is like 2 weeks old. No, actually, you didn't drop. Ah, it's no. true. Ah,
it's not.
It's 2 weeks. You didn't drop. I said, hey, actually, your shadow debut. So what is I've said it like you? 10 days running. Ah, like, hey, actually, your shadow
so
debut.
The question is the colors.
Dropping it.
The prints that you've identified that they come from here, how many are they at all that. For 2 or 3 weeks
that, consecutive. That is the problem. That is where the
so I'm telling you the other ones are not from here.
No, you are not getting the issue.
You are not getting the issue. I'm telling you that.
You relax for
your
me.
Allegation of I went to lobby or whatever. Uh-huh. It is not grounded in facts nor logic. Because the other ones you are talking about, if you were why, you would have seen other people wearing the same thing. I lie. Yes.
Ariatus, come and collect your fans. Atri is making you proud. She's making you proud. Guys, listen, Daddy K, yesterday you spoke to one of the aspirants for the GOC elections. We'll just go through the list. I did a very interesting piece about, very detailed, I might add. Took me a long time to put it together. Everything you need to understand.
You see his detail. You
yeah. You want people to see that he puts in a lot of work.
You are qualifying the thing that you've written.
But if you think
let somebody attach the agent, you are the one telling us that.
If it was not detailed, me, I would have pulled it down from the website.
Daddy K, say something about the write-up.
That's what you should say. Uh-huh. It was a fantastic piece.
Thank you very much.
That's all the information you need to know.
All the politics is there. You understand? Okay, so bottom line is. There's always drama at the GOC election. It always happens, and it's no different this time around. So,
the headline of the write-up he's referring to is GOC elects new leaders on April 26, colon, what you need to know. It's on the Majority Line.
It is there.
Yeah,
website. What you need to know.
Yeah.
So basically all the information, because sometimes, you know, before they started the election, the information was all over the place. We didn't know who was where. We only knew about a few names.
It was scattered.
Very scattered. That's the word. You know, and you have all of this at one place. And that's what we try and do for you guys on the show today. All the politics around it and why the GOC elections are very necessary. Now, the Ghana Olympic Committee, obviously, is the governing body for Olympic sport in Ghana. And they've been quite a lot of drama surrounding every GOC election. You cannot forget how the BT Baba was kicked out as GOC president when, of course, the Professor Dodu and his team took over the GOC. There were allegations of coup d'etat and what have you. If you speak to Neil Antivandepoy, he has quite the story to tell regarding how BT Baba was ousted. That's the word I'm choosing to use as GOC president. Nonetheless, Professor Dodu won an election and was GOC president and served 2 terms up until 2017 when new elections were held. And in those elections that were held in 2017, Benoni Mensah, who had served as an executive member of Ghana Hockey and also became Ghana weightlifting, you know about his time at Ghana Hockey, eh? I'll tell you all about it. You know, he then took over and became the Ghana Olympic Committee president. At the time as well, it was considered some sort of a coup d'etat because there were other people that were very desperate to get rid of Professor Dodu and they had all kinds of camps. George Lutrot was one of those people that did not only want to get rid of Professor Dodu as GOC president, but also wanted to get rid of him as Ghana Athletics president. And that matter even ended up in court nonetheless. But as so often is the case, they become wary and they abandon it and they let Benoni Mensah run his 2-year term. Now, the GOC elections are such that they are not limited to a 2-year term. They can do 3 terms. But after a 2-year term of after 2 terms, Benoni Mensah himself released a very long statement in the build-up to these elections, claiming that there were people that were trying to sabotage him and that he had decided that he'd done enough for Ghana sports in the last 8 years. And he's deciding, having supervised 2 Olympic Games in 2016 and in Tokyo, where he delivered 1 bronze medal, he's had enough and he wants to step aside for other people to take charge of the GOC. And that's where we are right now. The GOC will go to polls tomorrow, starting 9 a.m. at the Accra International Conference Center to elect leaders. Now, the GOC executive, the GOC executives are made up of a president, three vice presidents, secretary and an assistant secretary, a treasurer and an assistant treasurer. That's the executive committee of the Ghana Olympic Committee. Now, in that respect, you have two people who are contesting for the position of the presidency. You have Richard Akpokavi. Akpokavi served as a vice president in Benigno Mensah's first term. He also is a former national captain of the hockey team. He played for Ghana's hockey team in his heydays. And he has been an administrator, sports administrator, for as long as I can remember. Mostly noted for his exploits at hockey, where he was also Ghana hockey president. He is believed to be aligned to the camp of Professor Francis Dodu, who, by the way, is a delegate in this election representing Ghana athletics. I'll show you the delegates list. So he is standing for elections. Now, he also contested Benigno Mensah in the last election and then lost the last election. So he's coming back to contest again, but this time without Benigno Mensah. Actually, what did you say?
I think that was the election he lost by 8 votes.
Yes, that was that one.
Yeah,
the last election. Then he's being contested by Mike Agri, the former athlete and president of the Ghana Golf Association. He was also, remember, chef de mission for the Commonwealth Games. And he is the man that has put his foot forward to contest Richard Akpokavi for the presidency. So it's just the two of them that will go head to head. The good news, there's good news for some people, because the first vice president position is not being contested. Now, the GOC Constitution says that if anybody files unopposed in any position, there is not even a need for acclamation votes to do yes or no. Automatically, you win, awaiting swearing in. And in that respect, congratulations to the first vice president of the Ghana Olympic Committee. And is there what? And our very good friend, Mr. Mauko Afajunu from Table Tennis. He is the executive vice president in charge of marketing for ATTF, the Africa Table Tennis Federation. He was the president of Ghana Table Tennis. He too is having troubles in his local organization because there are a group of people who have filed court actions against his tenure as Ghana Table Tennis president. It's crazy what happens in our federations. Today you will get to understand what goes on in some of those. You remember when the sports minister famously said that some of the federations have no accountability? In some federation, the president is the husband, the treasurer is the wife. You remember? And it's happening. It is happening. So he has filed unopposed. He will be executive first vice president. The second vice president position is also unopposed. So congratulations to Frederick Latte Otu. Frederick Otu is also going unopposed in the second vice president slot. Now, if you are interested in who Frederick Otu is, we'll tell you a bit more about him very, very shortly. Baof Husseini is also going unopposed for Deputy General Secretary. So congratulations to him as well. He's the president of Ghana Athletics. And you notice that a lot of these people are presidents of various federations who want to come together to govern the Ghana Olympic Committee as it should be. Now, the General Secretary is where it gets very, very tricky, because Ghana cycling chief Mohamed Sanun, you remember him, he was also chef of the mission for Ghana, the Olympic Games in Tokyo, I believe. Commonwealth Games, but most famously for the Commonwealth Games in 2018, where the visa scandal happened. He was the chef de mission. He was not indicted. We have to put that out. But he was the chef de mission for those games. He's going up against Mohamed Mahadi. Okay? Sorry, Mohamed Muniru, I beg your pardon, Kasim, of Ghana Swimming. Mohamed Muniru is General Secretary of Ghana Swimming. He's going up against Mohamed Sanun, President of Ghana Cycling, for the position of General Secretary of the GOC. The Assistant General Secretary, Bao Fuseni, is going unopposed, as I have said. Now, the contest for the control of the GOC's finances is also very competitive, with both the Substantive Treasurer position and the Assistant Treasurer position being contested. Ghana Badminton President and Danike's uncle, Evans Yaboah, is going for treasurer. Now, Evans Yaboah is the president of Ghana Badminton. He was the one whose federation famously put the badminton players in the bucket of a pickup truck for the Africa Games. Remember that story? That's Evans Yaboah. They did a press conference and he came to explain his stand. He is going up against Isaac Abuajijia, who is the president for Ghana Tennis. Okay, not table tennis, Ghana Tennis. Mauko Afa Junior is table tennis. Isaac Abuajijia is tennis. Isaac Abuajijia is Ghana Tennis president.
Abe is his best friend.
Abe, that is Abe and Evans Yaboah, okay, going for general secretary. The vice general secretary is, again, Bao Fuseni. He's going unopposed. I've gone there. Okay, sorry about that. Evans and Abuajijia are going for treasurer. Forgive me. Treasurer. Evans Yaboah, treasurer. Isaac Abuajijia, treasurer. There are two of them that are fighting. And then there are three candidates who are contesting to be second treasurer or assistant treasurer, if you like it. Assistant treasurer. And those three are Bernard Korte from Ghana Boxing, Achitamaklo's uncle. Then you have the former MPP parliamentary candidate for the Ododo-Dio-Dio constituency.
Mankaniye.
Thank you.
Mankaniye kra.
Edward Patrick Nilante Banaman.
Mankaniye kra.
He is from the Ghana Handball. Handball. So he used to own a football club too. Then he has gone to, so he tried parliament and another went to something. Then he did a football club, now handball, now he wants to enter GOC. He's a good friend. So all the best to him. Edward Patrick Nilante Bannerman. He's representing handball. He is seeking to be assistant treasurer. He's going up against Bernard Korte of Ghana Boxing Federation. And the third candidate in there is from Ghana Basketball. And her name is Aurora Commodore Topa. Okay. She's the treasurer of the Ghana Basketball Federation. So she's also put her foot forward. So she goes against Nilante Bannerman and Bernard Korte for assistant treasurer. Okay. And that completes the list of the executives.
Vice president
even
contested for
by who and who?
Check.
The race for third vice president is here. Yes, thank you. I missed that one. Thank you. It will feature the chef de mission for the Africa Games 2023, and the Ghana baseball and softball president, and Achitamaklo's best friend Ernest Danso. Okay, third vice president. That's him. Thank you for pointing that out. And he is going up against Mohamed Mahadi. Mohamed Mahadi is the immediate past third vice president of the GOC and also president of the Ghana Fencing Association. So these are the executives. Sichofer Philip Achrim, you see, the thing is that you know, the Olympic sports, those things, it doesn't mean something to you like that.
It's okay. Not, it is not
everything to me.
No, 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 no. Hello, welcome, Sue. It is not me. It is not a me. And it shouldn't be a you. It means something to you. But
are you interested in it?
No, I am interested. I'm saying.
Okay, so, okay, fine, fair enough.
I'm saying I am interested, it's right? Okay. But I'm not very interested because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And me, it's not about what I'm interested in, what you're interested in, no.
Yeah.
It's about those who send the messages. They should send the messages and tell us if what you've done in the last 30 minutes, they're interested in it.
You see, and this is, I understand you totally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this is my problem with the people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You see, as a media, we have a duty.
Yes.
I call it a duty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we must balance that duty with our commercial responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And one of the duties of the media is to get the citizenry, the people interested in what is important. And like you said, this is important. Mm-hmm. However, you doubt that the people are interested in it.
Yes, because... Again, because
no, you were, earlier you were saying that move to the issues.
That's what I was saying.
For the roll call.
That's for the roll call of the names. You can do 5 minutes.
Then
you talk about the...
Because we did 20 minutes on...
Yes, on roll call.
On roll call.
Uh-huh.
No, but you see, also... We can't assume the people know the individual.
The rook.
Yeah, and what he was trying to do was to provide some background.
Long. The background. Long. I'm not saying you shouldn't provide it. I'm saying that we are doing review of the show on the show. No, you people are not serious. You people are just not serious. So, yeah, my yeah.
I get.
No, I see why you are doing it. It's important. Like, you know, yeah, I feel you.
I totally understand Sicho's point. There will be a lot of people that would be listening and thinking, we did.
Because for the longest time, the GOC, look, if this was the FA, and the FA has reconstructed the management committee, or the FA has changed coaches, or the FA has done something, there'll be a lot more interest. I'm saying that the GOC in themselves have not necessarily covered themselves in glory, in the way they've also manned their respective, you know, disciplines or sports. So that is where the interest or the lack of it is from. Mm-hmm. And that is why I'm saying that even though the election is big, it's huge. But across the country, nobody's speaking about it. And it's not about media propagating. Media,
I get your perspective 100%. And I'm saying that, you know, it's partly also the problem we have in this country where, you know, this is a civil responsibility.
Yeah,
that we are doing. And Danny Kay is 100% right when he says that there is quite a number of listeners who don't even know who is contesting or who they might have heard the name, but they don't even know the person's background or from what association they are coming from. So then it would feed into what you are saying, that when there is yawa or something good has happened, then you would know that it is because of the caliber of people you have put there. But here we are today. If you put out a phone call right now, and you say, we tell the listeners right now that just call us, tell us who you think are the executive members of the GOC. They have no clue.
Do they have it on their website regularly?
They probably do. But the people are so...
Of the 40, there are only 9 with websites. So
I said GOC. GOC is not part of the 40.
No,
GOC
the federations.
Yeah, he's talking about GOC.
Wait.
I meant.
Mix the issues. He said GOC.
Yeah.
GOC have a website, very functional website. I'm saying that they do, and they have everything in there.
You don't get the point I'm making.
Yes.
The people contesting for the various slots there are coming from various federations. The issues associated with those individuals may not necessarily be GOC, but are linked because it is, again, those federations. That's why I said the federations where people would need to assess that information. So, for example, the NST Eboatin, right? The Mauko Afajinu table tennis thing. All of those, no. It is not GOC that has to provide the information. It is
I get you, but that's not what we're talking about. I was talking about, like, the GOC Exco, and I said that if we ask people to call right and tell us who they are, they would not. And then Sicho asked if they had a website, and I said yes. But the other federation's issues are, yes, they are linked, but it's different. Anyway, so I think all of it just to say that, you know, it's important for the people to know what they're dealing with, because this is the Ghana Olympic Committee. And you see, I find it very problematic when every Olympic Games come around, you have the same audience who are calling and screaming and calling GOC incompetent. If you ask them who is the GOC General Secretary, they don't know.
They don't so have to know.
No, you see, but that's the thing. If you know the people, yeah, it guides your expectations. How do you not know the people governing your sport? I think it's important.
No, hang on.
Because the every day we scream about the GFA president.
I don't need to know the... My expectation is that once you're handed the opportunity or the mandate to do a job...
Who should be handed that mandate and responsibility? Look, credible people, no?
Yes, but the average Ghanaian has no input as to how who becomes the GFA president or who becomes the GOC president. The average Ghanaian has no input. But the expectation is when you get there...
Let me see your work.
I want to see your work. I don't even need to know you. That's my point. Because if they had a hand in appointing them, like we had a hand in bringing Mahama into power. If Mahama doesn't work, we'll show you Segi.
No, but you see...
No, you don't have to. No, I'm saying that. You don't have to know them as in like have personal... But you need to know their credibility levels. You and I, Situ,
yes,
as you say,
yes,
you and I, we sit, yes, here today.
Yes.
You've said this thing so many times.
Yes.
We don't have a hand in how the GFA elect their leaders. And yet, every day, we sit here and scream about the people and the caliber and quality of people,
yes,
that should be running that.
Even team. The coaches.
It is the same thing.
Yes.
We don't decide who the coaches,
yes,
are. But we have opinions about the quality and the kind of people.
That is what I'm saying. So, if
so
if,
I'm saying if, that it's important that the people know.
Even if, no, what I said is, the average Ghanaian doesn't need to know the person in charge because when I say no, they don't even have to know how credible the person is because they don't have any hand in getting the person there.
I think they should be interested in the credibility of the person.
No. Of course, yeah.
Yes.
But if the person is not credible, how did the person get there? The system that takes the person there.
This is the issue.
Yes. So the average Ghanaian can't worry about something they can't have a part in.
Do you know the purpose of the media and why we make noise?
Yes.
To draw attention. So when we are telling the listeners,
yes,
about somebody and we have question marks about their integrity,
mm-hmm,
it raises awareness,
yes,
and it gets people who are more powerful than you and I to
work,
be involved.
Yeah. To act.
But
to act. This is why we do what we do.
No,
it's
no,
not
no.
like we can directly intervene.
No, so there are two things. When you talk about credibility, I think it's very different from competence. Credibility is a big issue. Maybe the person is not credible.
No. Integrity, yeah, credibility, competence,
yeah,
all of them have to be contained in a leader.
Agreed. But I'm saying that if the person is not competent, the system that puts people in these positions, nobody really, aside those who are in it, have a hand in working around it. And it's a shameful fact.
You don't have a hand.
Yes.
You.
So when
but
so that's why I don't want it to lamp.
Interested.
I don't want it to lamp. No, you can be interested. I don't want it to lamp competence and credibility. If the person is not credible and the things about the person can be incriminating or it is a bare fact of an issue of corruption, something, it is easy to draw people's attention to take the person out of the election. But if it's about competence, the listener, you and I, can say what we want. But in the end, our people said Ket couldn't do the job. But he's there. People said Otto couldn't do the job. But Otto is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that when the system as it is, nobody really outside the system have got a hand. Right?
I've always agreed with you.
That is the reason why people are not interested. You see, let's understand it from the people's viewpoint too. The thing that is happening, I don't have a hand in how it happens. So why should I burn my energy over it?
Do you have a hand in the GFA election?
Say again.
Do you have a hand in the GFA election?
No, I don't have a hand in the GFA election.
But are we not always super interested?
Yes.
Same all of us go for the GOC.
No, not necessarily.
It's a governing body of a sporting institution.
I get what you are saying. What I'm saying is, the pool football has is different from the pool these sports to have. So
football
we can't
is
even,
part of them.
We can't remember that. No. So the GFA and the franchise it holds is very different from what the GOC does. So we can't even draw comparison from both. People are interested in the football that is being played even before they think about the leader. It is when the football is not working that they consider who the leader is. As for the football, everybody likes it. The GOC now has a different task of raising awareness to the many sports under them that people are not paying attention to or they are not getting the fans for. Football has crossed that barrier. So we can't bring them to the same table and have the conversation.
But I'm saying that, and I'm saying that stand is problematic.
Yep.
Because that stand...
No, you say it's problematic.
Yes.
Why?
That is the very reason why a lot of these sports remain underfunded and nobody seems to be interested. It is that. And I think that attitude that football is on a different pedestal. So therefore, everything around football should happen naturally, and the rest of what is left.
I don't think that's what I described anyway. We are saying something else.
And the rest of what is left, we call them least finance sport, or what was the term?
I don't know how they coined that nomenclature.
Yes, least finance sport.
I don't know how they coined that nomenclature for them.
But I appreciate where you are coming from.
Yep.
And that, you know, the GOC and their operations and the sporting entities under them have a long way to go in even selling themselves, because the natural pool might not be there. But I'm saying that as a citizenry, what is happening to these sporting federations is also a consequence of our own attitude towards them. It's a symbiotic situation. We don't seem to care about the other sporting federations, and they don't also seem to be progressing as a result of our lack of interest. And that is why the things that happen in these sporting federations, where one can have the husband as president and the wife as treasurer, and no one cares, and nobody seems to have an issue with it. If that was happening with the GFA, which is just a sporting entity under the NSA, as any of those other federations, there will be outrage. And we should be concerned. And the only way we would know these issues is if the media threw more light and highlighted all these issues, which is what we are trying to do here on the show. A lot of the sporting federation, so many things go wrong, and nobody seems to be talking about it. Nobody seems to have an interest. When you are discussing it here as well, you get opposition because people are not interested. They say, move on to other issues. Don't talk about this. Let's talk about what you're more interested in. That is true. We will do that. But we also have a responsibility to promote, not just only highlight the negatives, to even promote. But if we have a show here and talk table tennis for 1 hour, everybody will tune off. And it's a problem.
No, but
hold on. Even with athletics, Muftar, if we have a show here and we talk athletics for the next 1 hour, people might tune up.
Yeah,
but when Olympic Games come around, we are the first to shout that we don't win anything.
We didn't prepare well.
We didn't prepare well. We didn't do this. We didn't. But you had no interest in how they even got there. The federations that got those athletes to qualify, you have no idea how they are funded. You have no idea about even their electoral process or the people running it or the issues that confront them. Because even when we try to highlight those issues, you tune off, or you say move on to something else.
No,
I don't think that is. We need to decide what we want.
No, in every country, there's always that prominent sport that everyone follows.
I don't argue it.
So, for instance, you go to India, maybe their biggest sport is cricket. You go to Zimbabwe, their biggest sport is rugby, or South Africa, rugby, something. There's always that. Other disciplines would also get maybe a certain community of people who appreciate those disciplines. When you come to Ghana, our number one sport, the one we are all interested in, is football. That's why Sikyo will tell you that when it comes to football, people are already interested in what's going to happen on the pitch before we care about who the leader is. It is only when we realize that Charlie, someone is going to die on the field or something is happening about the game. That's when we begin to look at the people who are running the game and say, no, these people are very incompetent and cannot manage our football. Other than that, who cares about who the president of the Ghana Football Association is? We care about what is going to happen in the game between Hasebuke and Asante Kotoko. It is when the failures happen that we now begin, Mr. Kriku, you're the one who is the FA president. Why are your people behaving this way? And that is leading our game astray. That is the only point people will be interested in. So if Sikyo says that football already has its numbers, it is because Ghana as a country, we've chosen football as our number one sport. We'll go to other countries and they are interested in maybe athletics, maybe Kenya. You go to Kenya, they'll talk athletics for even 1 hour. When they spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes talking about football, people will tell them to move on.
You see, it's not like,
a good example. Do you know the biggest sport in Kenya?
It's athletics.
Football.
No, but black. See, no, but wait.
It's football.
But first.
The athletes are just achieving more.
Yeah, but.
Muftau,
you see, Ghana didn't choose football.
The gap is not that way.
Good.
Football is the only thing that can sell out stadiums in Kenya. Athletics doesn't even sell out.
Yeah, but you see, Muftau.
It'll be recent.
Yeah, but you see, and that's the next piece about that. It's true. Ghana didn't choose football.
Yeah.
It's not like as a people we've chosen football.
It's our interest. It's where our interest lies.
You see, every group of people in different country, different bank, different culture, there are things you are naturally good at.
Started to, yes.
That comes naturally to you. So you go to a country, they are great athletes because maybe from where they come from, so they run, maybe their genetics and everything. Ghana as a people, there are two big sporting disciplines that naturally, over time, has been proven that we are naturally skilled at. One is football, the mm-hmm. other is boxing. Mm-hmm. I don't think we chose it. Mm-hmm. Most of the other sports were borrowed or acquired through NBA and, you know, as life was going on. Through NBA. So you see, naturally, we were gravitated towards football and boxing because we were good at it naturally. It is difficult. You see, the other sports, it's not like nobody cares about them. But the natural taste of the Ghanaian man, the natural taste of an Indian man, the natural taste of an English man.
In Norwegian.
It is different. The natural taste of...
Teacher, do you know why?
Why?
It is because success has many friends. So success breeds the interest. So growing up,
yes,
you and I, where we saw the most success,
yes,
from all of our teams or Ghana in competitive sport, was boxing and football.
Yes.
So it's natural that in that period, in growing up, that is where our interest will gravitate. So I'm saying that the time that you and I were
did you see Ghana win the AFCON?
No.
So which success are you talking
about? We had great success. Success is not only about winning trophies.
No. So which successes are you talking about? Like, we played well, we're okay.
Yes,
we got into some finals, we lost plenty.
Yes, quarterfinals at the World Cup, top 8 country in the world. That is huge success.
Yes.
So I'm saying that the success naturally breeds interest. It is what it is. When we were growing up, forget about the kind of people we are. If the biggest sporting success at the time you and I were growing up was cricket, we will grow up as cricket fans.
No. So that cricket success wouldn't happen in the vacuum. It would happen because those before us, as a people, would have loved and done it. That be, but you're speaking as though, if Ghana cricket does well over a period and they become successful
over 50 years, the next generation will be cricket fans.
It's not automatic. So you're saying that people have not seen success with the Black Stars in the last 10 years or so. If you consider the last 20 years, the interest in football for Ghanaians will dwindle.
And go where? We're talking about going somewhere, not leaving a place. So you can have equal. If you go to England, for example,
how many countries have been successful? Say Kenya. You say football is Kenya's number one. Meanwhile, they are more successful in athletics than football. But football is still their number one. Yes. What was the last time you enjoyed any success in football? But football remains number one.
No, you don't get easy. He's saying there's a possibility for the others to also gain interest if they can also give consistent success. Yes. Or
is that what you're saying? Yes. I didn't get it that way.
I think we actually have a perfect.
If that's what you're saying, then
because if you look at the interest in athletics before this group of athletes, before the Azamat, look at between 2019 and now. Before 2019, if you go back to the 2018 Commonwealth Games, if you remember, the interest in athletics there wasn't as much as you wrote a piece on her.
Yes.
The kind of euphoria around her at the time, you can't compare it to what is happening now because this time the boys have given us consistent performances. So then, when they are going to the Olympics, everybody is looking for it. Adamati and Ko are now trending when they have races to run, which wasn't necessarily the case.
No, but
we always had runners, but we didn't have runners as popular as this group because this group has given us success.
But I also think that when it comes to athletics, it hasn't necessarily been because of Ghanaian athletes in more recent times.
I'm not talking about athletics as a whole. I'm saying the interest in Ghanaian athletes.
No, wherever.
Teacher, I'll ask you a question.
But we saw this guy was doing the snow thing. What's his name?
The what?
Oh, what's his name? Akwesi Frimpong.
Yeah.
The guy no win. No,
he didn't win.
He go there some.
Yes, he didn't win.
That's
what I said he was doing.
Even the skeleton competition.
All of a sudden, once there's a Ghanaian there, we will pay attention to it. It is natural. It is once there are Ghanaians there, it doesn't matter the sports.
Did you watch Ghanaians in Tokyo? Sorry, in Rio 2016.
In 2016, athletics.
Do you remember watching Ghanaians there?
Well, I remember watching the entire Olympics, but I wasn't paying attention to only Ghanaians because...
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Olympic Games in Tokyo?
I would watch every Olympic Games. That is what I was trying to say.
No. Just pay attention to my line and question.
Okay.
I asked if you watch Ghanaians and you say you watch the Olympic Games in general.
In general, yeah.
But you don't remember watching Ghanaians.
I'm not paying attention to it because they don't excel.
Did you watch the Ghanaians in the last Olympic Games in Paris?
I did watch the by watching. I watched Ghanaians.
You watched Ghanaians.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So the point I'm making is that the only reason you made time to watch the Ghanaians in Paris is because the Ghanaians gave you reason. Not just because they're Ghanaians, because in Rio, there were Ghanaians.
Yes.
But they were not great.
Yes.
So you didn't care.
Yeah.
This time you
cared. But I still made the same time to watch those Ghanaians, even though they were
not great. You said you didn't.
No, sorry, I don't remember watching them because they were Ghanaian. I watched the entire competition. It's the same thing for you. I didn't make time to watch the Ghanaians. No, don't get it wrong. I would watch it because they are Ghanaians.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you remember any Ghanaian you watched in Rio? Just mention one.
I don't necessarily remember.
You remember the ones you watched in
Paris? I don't remember.
Oh God!
Even the whole athletics interest. Hold on for me.
Coffee Hayford here with Showbiz News Flash, powered by Joy Entertainment. I'm sure you know or probably heard about Red, Unim Red, the substance that many young people have resorted to abusing. Yes, that one. So reggae dancehall artist Ras Kuku is calling for its ban. Ras Kuku says the FDA should ban the importation of illicit drugs, especially Red, to help save the youth of this country. Ghanaian music video director Awudu Musa, popularly known as Babs Direction, has slammed Ghanaian TV stations who show Nigerian movies in Ghana without authorization. Babs says the right thing to do is for TV stations to bring creatives together and discuss how to collaborate and create content for their platforms. Kanye West is not backing down on his support for incarcerated R&B singer R. Kelly. Kanye has reposted a video of Kells singing to a fan from prison on X and captioned it "Free Kelly" to signify his support for the release of R. Kelly, who is in prison for sexual allegation charges. That's all for now on Showbiz News Flash, powered by Joy Entertainment. Do visit Joy Entertainment social media pages and myjoyonline.com for more. I am Kofi Hayford, Joy Entertainment. We are large and in charge.
Joy 99.7 FM. Welcome back. This is Game Plan on Joy 99.7 FM. It's also live on Hits 103.9 FM. The show is sponsored by Betway. We've all been there. You've placed the perfect multi-bet and it's all going your way until it's not, and one or more picks let you down. Well, with Betway's Bet Saver feature, you can win even if your bet misses. Even on multiple losses, you can get your bet back and more. Bet Saver is exclusive to Betway, of course. The show is also proudly sponsored by Petrosol. And Petrosol April Bonanza is still on. We've had many draws. Excitement is continuing. We've had two thrilling draws already. In the Northern Sector Grand Finale, congratulations to the lucky 43 winners, 14 winners in the last monthly draw, and then 29 winners in the Northern Sector Grand Finale draw, also including Mr. Swala Muhammad, a.k.a. Popular, who drove home a brand new Suzuki Espresso car. Now it's time for the final showdown, so mark your calendars for the Southern Sector Grand Finale. It's on April 29, that's Tuesday, at the Petrosol Springtech Service Station in Greater Accra. You could be the luck winner of a brand new Suzuki Espresso car. So stay updated on our social media handles and get ready for the ultimate climax. Petrosol's Energizing Dreams promo. Terms and conditions apply. Petrosol Energizing Dreams. Hits FM, rep your jersey. Danny K, Achu, you guys pumped for it.
Charlie.
May 31, Aviation Social Center.
We're coming, baby.
We will be there. Proudly supported by SoccerBet, TCL, Franco Trading Enterprise, and DSTV. We're showing the Champions League final on a giant screen on May 31. But even before that, we have a couple of road shows lined up.
This Tuesday, we are going to the Palms by Eagles.
Formerly known as Holiday Inn. Yes.
The Palms by Eagle.
The Palms by Eagle.
For Arsenal versus PSG.
That's right.
Then on Wednesday, the Barcelona and Inter Milan game.
Yes.
We are going to HR Residence.
Oh,
Gansuman Exhibition.
I know there is a rooftop.
DC. We are coming to DC.
So the Arsenal game is a Holiday Inn. So where you are going?
Palms by Eagles.
Palms by Eagles. Thank you, Danny K. Palms by Eagles, formerly known as Holiday Inn, fantastic, is right there on the Airport Bypass Road. Yeah. We'll be there Tuesday. Tuesday, we'll be there. Actually, Tamaklo will be there. Also, explore room opportunities.
Fantastic.
What? Huh?
No, this one is catch and then... catch and base.
No, no, no. You sit your stem. Catch and... pa. Zicho, we'll be there Tuesday night.
Yeah.
7 to 9. So if you're going home, you use that road, just stop by, join us in there. I've seen the viewing room. The chairs are so comfortable, eh? Mm. Oh, my brother. So let's watch the Champions League game there together. Arsenal versus PSG. And then Tuesday, we are going to Dansman, that rooftop HR residence. Amazing view. I've seen it. It's fantastic. So we'll be there. We're building up to the Hits FM Rapture jersey on May 31 at the Aviation Social Center. Also, there's public speaking series. Join News in partnership with the Amalgam of Professional Bodies proudly presents the next edition of the Public Speaker Series. It's on Monday, 28 April 2025. It's at 6:30 p.m. live on the Joy News channel. Join keynote speaker David Ofosu-Dorte, senior partner at AB and David Africa, and other thought leaders, professionals, and change makers for a powerful national conversation on the theme Transforming Ghana's Economy, Time for a Mindset Revolution. Don't miss this powerful national conversation. Be a part of change, of course. And a keen reminder of Impact Makers Awards. Joy News, in partnership with the McDam Foundation, we're presenting the finalists for the 2025 Impact Makers Awards, from after-school programs to mental health advocacy, clean water projects, inclusive education, women empowerment, and more. These are the true agents of change, making extraordinary impacts in hard-to-reach communities across Ghana. Now, you can catch their inspiring stories on Joy News as we honor their efforts in reshaping lives one step at a time. And the Joy News Impact Makers Awards is brought to you by Gold Key Properties, Transforming the Landscape, MNC Group Global, Totally Reliant, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness and Beauty, and Latest Foam, your partner for life, the Center of Strategic Philanthropy and Social Investment of the Pentecost University, Unleashing Transformation of Ghana, of course. Unleashing Transformation of Philanthropy, Research and Innovation for Community Impact, Philanthropy Ghana, also promoting an elevated philanthropy in Ghana, and then the Ghana CEO Summit and Expo, inspiring business leadership and economic transformation. The Joy News Impact Makers Awards, celebrating ordinary people making extraordinary impact. All right, we're back again. We've got a lot to cover in the next 42 minutes here in the studios of Joy FM in Kokomlemle, Accra. It's 80 minutes past 2 p.m. And we're done with the UOC elections happening on Saturday. So we wish all the candidates the very best of luck. And of course, there are some court issues here and there, but I think that those issues, they will trash them out themselves. You know, Sitcho, these are the issues you were talking about. There's an association called the Ghana Olympians Association. This is a body made up of like former Olympians and what have you. Listen to the story. Now, they are supposed to also have they have a vote. They're supposed to, because they are an affiliate body. Okay, so they have a vote. So somebody, Andrew Owusu from Ghana Athletics, a former Olympian himself, holding himself as president of the Ghana Olympians Association, GOA, wrote a letter to the GOC electing two delegates as the ones to represent the GOA in the voting process, because everybody, all the association bring delegates. So they presented their two delegates. You know who their two delegates are? One is the aspiring president. Richard Akpokavi is one of them. And then the other one is Chris Esulfi, chef de mission for, I think, Rio 2016. Yeah. Okay. Now, other group of former Olympians have written a letter through their lawyer to the GOC to tell the GOC that Andrew Owusu has written a letter to them, you know. they, as members, don't remember any congress that the GOA has had where they have elected him as president. And that the GOC, you know, should provide them, furnish them with details of their last minutes from their last meeting or the congress that elected Andrew Owusu as president for him to be writing letters to be nominating delegates. So, the matter, no, it is where it is. They said they were giving them a deadline of up to, I think yesterday was Thursday, right?
Yeah.
To get back to them or else they are suing. So, me, I have to follow up on it. And I'm thinking, how is it possible?
See,
the other members of an association, we say, we don't remember a congress where a president was elected. So, where from this guy or this man saying that he's the president, he's nominating delegates?
See, those petty squabbles have become symptomatic of the GOC.
They have been.
Unfortunately, you know, when we talk about the GFA's issues and everyone gets alarmed, what happens at the GFA is like a fraction of the stuff that happens. And unfortunately, it is because we have allowed the two big political parties to rip apart the GOC through their big personalities. And I think that we still have not, although people don't like to admit it, we have still not recovered from the whole BT Baba, Professor Dodu, George Luttrell, right down to the Ben Nunu Mensah era. We have still not recovered from the infighting because you know what has happened? People had so-called godfathers and they inherited enemies. So the person who was running the Federation 15 years ago, 18 years ago, did not get along with the current president's godfather. So by virtue of my association with BT Baba, I feel like I should not get along with. And look, it is crazy that stuff that we were reading about in 2008, in 2012, 13 years down the line, from that same bad tree, we have had people who have come to run the GOC. And then, you know what happens then? Mm-hmm. A lot of the problems Ben Nunu Mensah had were because he was surrounded by people who belong to the other side of the divide. Mm-hmm. And my issue is simple. Where there is suspicion of wrongdoing, there are levers, for the want of a better expression, or provisions in the constitution that you can activate. If indeed it is transparency, if indeed it is integrity that you want to uphold, rather than the mudslinging exercise. Because look, all of those allegations, sometimes some audit reports that really has nothing, like no real foundation of wrongdoing. But by the time you realize it, it has been leaked into the media, it has been leaked into the public domain, and people who do not understand the contents of that paper are running with the narrative that a certain officer has embezzled some funds. And in the end, you begin to see the real intentions of these people because they are not interested in holding someone accountable. So they are not going to summon the person before the executive board. They are not going to summon the person before Congress. They are not going to whip delegates at Congress to say that this person is in direct violation of regulation ABC of the GOC constitution. So let's put it to a vote and remove the person from all. They are not interested in any of that. Rather, every day it is this person has stolen money. It is this person has put his wife there. And so many unnecessary fighting that all stems from that one bad tree that started many years ago. Unfortunately, today, after the December 2024 elections, the GOC and some federation elections have become the only thing some MPs and some failed MPs are holding on to. So we saw what happened at weightlifting. Nasty business. Tomorrow, a bit of that will go down.
And that's the point Sijo is making, that these federations, they are so terrible at running
So sometimes I don't...
Because how do you not... You can't hold common elections.
I don't get
there it. There was chaos.
And there are a number of... There are a number of them because...
You should mention the weightlifting story from last week. From this week.
What happened at the weightlifting thing? Just to give people a sense of it. What if the NPP had won the elections? Because if the NPP had won the elections, then the national security who went there to stop whatever activity or the elective congress would then be responding to what Jerry Shuaib and his camp would want.
So when I say that, it has become a turf war for both the NDC and NPP. Based on who is in power, they will bend the constitution to their will. Today, and unfortunately, some of the people who are culprits to this are our friends. And when you speak about some of, how is it that your tenure has ended? Walk away or hold the elective Congress. That why must that matter get to court when the constitution provides the tenure, is clear about the tenure of office? Like there's no confusion about what the tenure is and how many years constitute one tenure.
And the other thing is,
so look, just to conclude this, look, the only people who can resolve this is the very people who are involved in it. That people need to sit down and realize that this is business. Yes, fight over the opportunities, but do not do it in a manner that completely denigrates what you say you are trying to build.
I have a question for the NSA, the supervisory body for all these federations. Do you think that it is possible for Keto Kroku to be GFA president?
Absolutely not.
As well as a member of parliament?
Absolutely not. I don't think so.
So why do we have that in other federations?
For the GU... Oh, so like Shuaib, Nilante Banaman...
Is it possible?
So it will not be possible...
Because he himself... MP and a GFA president at the same time.
Because the weight of responsibility...
Why wouldn't it? No, that shouldn't be...
Now, I'm saying that because of the weight of responsibility, he himself will probably look at it and say, this is not something I can combine.
Somebody too will say that I can manage my time and have to do... But I'm saying, why can't he...
No, I'm saying that, is that a good idea?
So you can ask that. Is it proper or is it good idea?
So my answer is to the reality that we have seen. Often when people get to the point where they feel like they want to get into politics, they walk away from football. Unfortunately, a lot of those federations where these things are happening, it is because the entire federation is someone's office. So he can sit in parliament and then still run the federation and run it poorly. And the only person who will check is his wife, because the wife is the 2IC.
You mentioned the issue of weightlifting, and we must point out, and look, it comes back to the point situation making as well. How is it possible? This very week, we've had a crazy story. A crazy story from Ghana weightlifting. Where athletes went to, is it Egypt? Where did they go to compete? Danike?
Yeah.
Where did they go to compete? Yeah,
it was Egypt.
There were athletes Karim, where were they? They went to compete. And you see, that's the thing. None of us...
Mauritius.
None of us knew about all these weightlifters or this competition in the first place. And that's the point you're making. Like, nobody... You only know when issues come, okay? They are only interested in... I don't know about any weightlifting development program in this country. No.
They're only interested in travel.
Ah, what are you talking about? All the gyms in Accra.
That's not it. You don't understand.
All days,
Ghana Weightlifting Federation. What are their development programs? How are they recruiting talent? How are they introducing the sport to people in schools? Like, what programs do they have? That's what I'm interested in. I don't see any. Only time I hear about them is they have traveled somewhere and problem has come. Like, this week, they went to Mauritius to compete. They entered athletes to go and compete. Only for the athletes to be told that they cannot compete. Then somebody else who says that he sent them there wrote a long statement saying that the Ghana Weightlifting Federation has acted unilaterally by withdrawing Ghanaian athletes from the competition. And that is denying the athletes of competition and opportunities, and call them wicked and call them all kinds of names. Only for 2 hours later, the Ghana Weightlifting Federation, whose tenure has expired, by the way, and they tried unsuccessfully to have an election to replace them, released a statement to say that, the people that went to Mauritius, they did not come through them. They entered the competition, or they tried to enter the competition illegally, or that they couldn't even have possibly entered the competition with that day they say so. So the Mauritius they went to, they went there to play, because they could not have gone there to represent Ghana.
Meanwhile, your tenure of office has ended.
Are you listening to this craziness? This happened this week. Is it possible for somebody to take black meteors, listen to it too, and go to competition? Go and reach there. Then the GFA will write to the competition organizers that the team there, it is not Ghana team. We didn't sanction it, so bring the team back. Can it happen? That's what Achu said. that the things that are, that we say are happening at the FA that we are outraged about, it is only a fraction of what happens in the other federation.
There's no control. That's what, anyway.
Right. It's crazy. But let's move the conversation on. I've had a very, very interesting message from Manuel from Radio Universe, University of Ghana. It says, Fent, I think you make a great point in your argument, but I think the focus of the conversation is being lost. It's not true that people are not interested in conversations you're having. I think it's a combination of two things. The federations are terrible at marketing, and the media seldom holds compelling conversations or do compelling coverage. And this is not a criticism of you or your team, because you guys are actually one of the best. You did the goal chase thing and etc. The interest in Azamati and Co. is not because of just representation. It's because of the preparatory coverage and marketing that was done. That helped whip up the interest. It is the marketing and the coverage rather than the interest. For instance, couldn't the GOC have organized to have at least the presidential aspirants to come debate on the show? Wouldn't that have been more compelling? Well, interesting point, Manuel. But I think you contradict yourself there when you say the media don't do compelling coverage, but you say Azamati and Co., the interest is there because of coverage. Coverage from who? From us. That's the point. It's not that no, Ghana but Athletics organized...
No, but he meant specific. He said you did the coverage for them. Prior to this thing.
So that's what we are trying to do. But again, we are trying to do coverage for GOC elections.
Manuel is looking at it from... Why should any media spend
money? Be doing the work for you.
Spend money to send a journalist all the way to Bahamas to go and cover. It's not cheap.
No.
What's the return? What's the value?
Yeah.
So if I'm a media manager, I'm working the mathematics and thinking that the GOC movie idea. I don't know how many movie dollars not going to Bahamas or cover. So you see, anyway.
Yeah, it is. All right. Listen, DK, let me come to you. Under 20, they are in action of May 2 against DR Congo. It's only 8 teams in that competition. If they finish in the top 3, they'll qualify for the FIFA Under 20 World Cup. We've not been there since 2015. Ofea has put a team together. Has any of you seen the squad?
Have you seen the squad? You're asking
me. They left out the case.
No, the only squad
came to complain. That's why I'm starting.
Was the local contingent that was going there?
We don't know who
joined
them.
But he's here.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that the full squad has not been announced. All they released was the last. You see, the local boys went through.
Yes,
like 3 batches. Yes. So the final batch of local boys who went to.
I get it, but I'm saying that Sivanyo is here.
No, he's here. He's not part.
So he should have gone with the local contingent.
That's a different matter you are talking about. Yeah.
Why should he have gone?
But he's a bowler.
But listen.
Impe be bowler with Ghana.
So he's not good enough for the team.
You come say
the agenda you carry.
Don't do that.
I have a question. What are some of the foreign-born players that fall within that age category that could possibly be there? Is Jerry Afriye still of age? No.
He is. It's a qualification window.
Yeah.
Okay.
So at the start of the qualification,
if you were eligible.
So he's still eligible. The Barcelona boy, the left back, is available. Yeah.
I think I saw Aziz in the pictures of the Kenya friendly.
Yeah, Aziz.
He played in that game.
Okay.
No, but me, I want
Dreams
to talk
Aziz,
about,
right? Yeah, also of Barcelona.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the two Barca boys. No, but you see, my issue with the Chevano thing here, continuity is very important. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a captain of the under 17 team who tried to qualify for the World Cup. Didn't work out. He's one of the best players in under 17. In fact, arguably their best player. Then he plays consistently in the Ghana Premier League until the Nsoatreman Yawa happened.
Yes.
Okay. They've been out of action for a while. But if you trace it, he was part of when they announced the first campaign, he joined the team. So he's been camping with the team even after the Nsoatreman Yawa. The group of boys who went for the first and second camp, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the final list comes out and then he's left out. My issue is the continuity factor.
Mm-hmm.
When you are selecting an under 17 team, there's supposed to be a proper transition. So the next under 20 team, you should expect them. Same thing we did with Fatah Issahaku. The entire under 17 didn't go, but he was a star player of that under 17. Then he joins the under 20 team and then they go on to win the AFCON. Then after that, now he's part of the Black Stars. There needs to be that proper transition. And for me, I don't see, I'm struggling to see how he's missed out because
maybe no seat of a campaign.
No,
maybe,
it's not.
Let's give them benefit of the doubt. Maybe you know see tough for
No, then you see, then he must have been extremely terrible, which I don't think is the case.
To erode all the credits.
And you see, another thing, another issue I have is where they put his name in the campaign. They put him as right back defender. And in the friendly matches too, he played as a right back. That's not his strong suit. The guy is a winger. When he plays as right back, that defensive balance is not there.
So that's campaign so, right back.
But,
he flop.
You see, you see.
No, but that's a trap. You see, it's a trap.
Yeah, I get what
you're
saying.
It's a trap. Like,
see,
yeah.
It's an
like
age-old strategy they used to eliminate players.
Like, you want to become a radio presenter, English. They go
no,
and put you on
Kobe, I'm a striker. They make a go play like
that. And they say, go and do Chi News. Then you go and flap it. Then they'll sack you and say you don't do it.
You're not a journalist.
Wasa.
And also,
it's not.
They do it very often.
But still, he's had a very good team. He's had a long time to prepare. Went to the Waffle, qualified. Yeah. They've been in camp a long
time. No, yes. I even have an issue. Another issue with the preparation.
Hey, you have issues, so.
Oh no, you see, me. I don't like that thing where we won't say anything. Then when the yawa comes, or if the yawa comes, for God forbid, it won't happen. But when something goes wrong, then we come and sit here. Then people will be asking you, so you knew all these things. So me, I'll lay down on the table. 100% when it comes to Ghana, 100% support. But it's still very important for me to lay down the issues I have. Look, the last preparatory competition that they had, the head coach wasn't there. And yeah, for me, it's an issue. The tournament, when they went to Egypt first, they had a competition. Some four-nation tournament.
Yeah.
It was happening. It went under the radar because that was the same time the Black Stars were playing. And the head coach was helping Otuado beat Chad and this thing.
Which is more
Madagascar.
Important.
No, he's the head coach of the under 20.
Prepare for a World Cup.
You said it in your intro. We've not been to the World Cup since 2015. We have this golden batch of players who look very promising with their head coach. We all look, when the Black Stars technical team was announced, we came here to complain. Why are you now giving the guy double work? And now the last preparatory competition. You understand? The guy is not part. The head coach is not there. So if there were issues, no, he doesn't have the same eyes as his assistant. He doesn't. If he did, then he doesn't need to go to the AFCON. He's a head coach for a reason. He will make the final call. So if the boys have gone and some things are going around or some player B is not doing well and maybe he needs to do a switch or something, the guy wasn't there. And you can't tell me he was watching videos because he was paying attention to Otto and his instructions. In fact, we all saw the teamwork between Otto and Desmond in conquering Chad and Madagascar. So his mind was, and
somebody,
his attention
somebody,
was.
Somebody just said that maybe we should have sent Otto with another 20 so that we leave this moment with the Black Stars because since this
nobody said
anything. Anyway, so they are in Group C alongside Senegal, DR Congo, and Central African Republic. That's not easy. Senegal are the champions of this competition, so certainly will be difficult. And you mentioned the transition because Senegal have one of the under 20 players in the AFCON, and he was scoring wonderful goals. He was scoring wonderful goals.
He was
of the
best
AFCON.
Young player it was Edinga. It was Kamara.
Anyway, so all the best to them.
No, this under 17 they just did.
Yeah, Morocco.
Yes.
Some boys are in that from that group are part of their under 20
Senegal.
I
don't know Senegal for sure. I think it's one of the North Africa. I think it was CAF that posted it.
Okay.
He's
okay.
From this.
So the list is overlapping.
We are sitting there. We are leaving our capital behind.
Yeah.
And you finish. And
do you know
doing scouting and
you see,
looking for
and
players?
This is one of the things that the FA doesn't help us with. Do you know how many players from Lycans under 17 are in this under 20? Because like in under 17 was exactly a year ago. So if a player was 17, they're 18 now, they should be in the under 20. How many?
That team that they didn't want them to go in the first place, that they went to score a goal and remove their shirt and said that we love you, like, you want them to come and play under 20. Are you, pa?
No, but I get your point. But
they made the manager get coach. The manager coach get problem. They sign the guy. You player. You under 17 boy. You don't score goals. Say we love you like a comeback.
Easy.
Where the boys watching them?
On a more serious note, I definitely think that we should have had.
I think just about if they publish the list, we can. Just
this is the it. Point.
And by now, if it should themselves, the FS media team themselves should be doing player profiling.
They should be.
From, yeah,
should
you know, be. You should. It's
telling
yeah.
us who the players are.
It's good
are.
For Akai. Oh, yeah. It's good for
some ballers. The younger guy. The Kagawa boy.
Yes. No. They were decent players in that line.
Yeah, they were exciting to watch. Yeah, they didn't win, but they were exciting. Even the games that they lost, they were still exciting.
Yeah,
you know.
And for a squad of 21 or so, we should be able to have
some two.
Yeah, some two youngsters from that assembly. It helps with the progression plan, as we've all spoken about.
Also, if you know the list is going to arouse suspicions and raise question marks, if you see that list and the hype Ayamga got underlie, if Ayamga is not in that team, you will have questions to answer.
I will eventually see because FIFA will publish it very soon. How long are you going to...
CAF.
I mean, I say FIFA. CAF will publish it very soon.
But by that
how
time...
How long are you going to keep it away from us?
No, but by that time, now, it casts.
You can vex more. And you see, and that is what will create the whole pressure on the team because people will start talking about the team.
Yeah.
People will start talking about why this wasn't there, why is this player there, why is this player from Dreams, why is this player from this club, and that, the visions and all of that. But when you release the squad and then the coach even, you know, makes a comment about it, we have the whole discussion, then we can focus on backing the team.
Yeah.
But if the squad comes a day or two or a week into the game, then there's unnecessary conversation.
You know, the crazy part is that we are not getting to discover which players have been called up from the clubs. For example, there's this North Texas boy, Aaron Acel, whose club announced that he's going to the Ghana under 20 before we discovered that the boy is in the team.
Exactly like the World Cup.
Blaster color.
The World Cup squad.
It was the clubs that were saying congratulations.
You got it.
And the players were saying that I'm happy to be going.
In fact, when they started releasing their videos, Inaki was the first.
Yes.
That's how come we got to know which players.
Yeah, anyway, so that's what it is. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But all the best to the team. I think that if we make it out of the group, there are others like Egypt, Morocco, South Africa, or Zambia in the other side of the draw that we could be facing. So it certainly doesn't look like it's going to be easy at all. If we're going to go to this World Cup,
no, but I know opinion,
it will be tough.
I don't know if you guys saw the under-17 CAF, the AFCON.
Of course.
Charlie, CAF, they need to change that qualifying format.
Killing the West African.
Charlie, like Lion Boys go score these people. Simple.
It's not a fair thing. I get what they are trying to do, but all the regions are not their ability and then
it's affecting Africa
at the World Cup. Because when you have Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, all of them in the same region, and they have to go through, it's not fair.
But those are things you expect Kieto Kweku to at least lead for, right? Push for.
I don't think
you're from WAFU. You found your way into the big room now. Those are things that if you are mindful of, if you care about it, you push for, you lobby for and see how many changes or to what extent you can engineer those changes. Because those are executive council decisions. The competitions department, yes, they will have their own plan and how to execute it, but they don't decide the competition format and all of that. The change that came, it didn't come from the CAF competitions department. It was an executive council decision.
Because they changed it with the senior women's football.
Exactly.
They changed the format, but they've left the same thing for the junior football.
Yeah. It was an executive council decision, which means it's the council members. This is where we see your lobbying skills.
Yeah. No, but CAF, I don't understand. You see, when you changed it, remember, it was for women's football and then youth men's football. Then you change women's senior football. The very reason why you change the women's football, don't you think you should apply for everything?
Because it means that at youth level, literally, it has become impossible to see Ghana and Nigeria at the same youth level.
No, it's impossible.
Global competition.
Ghana, Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire.
Which is a shame.
Yeah, Ghana, Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire, Burkina Faso. It's a shame.
The CAF schools competition, we are in the semi-finals in both the girls and the boys. They are playing wonderful football. I've seen them under 15 competition.
I was there yesterday and I was...
Very impressed, huh?
Yeah. Look, what they were doing on that pitch there, it looked more organized and better structured than what we see here on a regular basis on weekends.
And in Ghana Premier League.
Yeah, and I was happy for those federations who are producing kids at that level, right? Because
it was very different from the usual raw talents that we're used to seeing from our kids.
This is the boys 14. You mean?
No, this was the girls.
Okay, the girls.
This was the girls. Mm-hmm. And that is what was even more impressive. I mean, as for the men's game, it has evolved, right? So the coaches are going to find, even at that level, they'll be teaching them principles that they've probably seen some coach elsewhere do. The application will not be 80% or 60%, but the fundamentals will be there. But the fact that we're seeing women's football in that, at this level, playing the sort of football that I saw yesterday, for me, was very encouraging. And I do hope that at least for those of us here, those who are running football in this country at that level, are able to draw inspiration from that.
They are in action right now. The Black Comets.
Yeah.
They are trailing Tanzania.
Tanzania.
By a goal to nil.
Is that a girls?
No, that's a boys team. The girls will play at 3:15.
And it's halftime now. That's their third group game. They won the first two.
Oh, maybe they are already three. I'm sure they've missed.
Yeah, so it's halftime now. They trailed Tanzania by a goal.
Yeah, I know they did them on back.
See.
Huh? That's a semi-show.
Ah, okay. So now you see your problem.
Oh, there
you
are.
Yeah.
Oh, but they'll come back. Oh. You see what? The Comets.
Comets.
It's a semi-final clash.
Oh, interesting. Comets. Oh, brilliant.
So they won. They did well to progress to the semis, but at the moment they trail by a goal to nil. So halftime, we'll see. But like you said, it's Ghana. We are Ghana.
Oh, we are Ghana.
We are Ghana in Ghana. Yeah, yeah, but Charlie, tell the Legon pussy they should fix their pitch. Let's see the sport they come.
No, that pitch. From day one, it has never been good for football. From day one.
It looks undulating.
No, from the end, they did it that way because it was an athletic pitch. They're going to do this. But they didn't lay the base.
No. I had a conversation with the LOC chair. He said they were supposed to relay the pitch. It was part of the contract and make it a hybrid pitch. All of that contributed to the high cost of the stadium. They never did it.
But we spent the money.
Where's the refund?
Interesting.
Where's the money? Working on a piece, will come out.
You are telling me that we paid somebody to do that thing.
We said it was part of the contract. They paid all their money. But per the contract, the 35, how much? 35 million.
36.
We spent at the University of Ghana Stadium. Part of it
was for the hybrid pitch.
Thank you. We were supposed to fix a hybrid pitch. They came out with excuses like
and the
time.
The pitch
and
panels too. They ordered them.
They were supposed to fix a lot of things.
Me, I see the thing with my eyes. So when the thing came, they gave me the hammer to this thing. I saw the thing with my eyes. They were supposed to, electronic ones, they were supposed to fix it. Didn't do that too. They removed one, if you remember. Yeah. Use one, for then they took some to Boteman to do the badminton and thing. They were supposed to bring all back and lay it around the pitch. Yeah, all was bad. They've not done it. I see some of the containers, wooden, there's somebody installed inside.
This one briefly. 100 million to Saudi. Kudus Mohammed. Should he or should he not?
No, that would largely depend on what the boy thinks of himself after his career.
After?
Yeah. Yeah. The what projects he thinks he has after football, what he sees himself to be. Is he going to be a businessman? Is he going to go into this business? That will inform the amount of money he thinks he can make. But however I look at it, it's not easy. Then you have to ask Kudus what his personal ambitions are, because we know the height of football is in Europe. It's not in Saudi. Mm-hmm. You want to play in the Champions League. You want to win the Premier League. You want to be Ballon d'Or contender. You want to be PFA Player of the Year in England if you are playing there. You want to be, if that is the height of football in terms of achievements, right? So what is Kudus's personal drive as a footballer? Nobody can answer those questions for him. If he figures that out, he will determine which one is more important. Get the backs now from Saudi. And to be fair, the Saudi league is attracting a lot of very good players, and they look like they're developing. You want to be part of the developing process of the league. You want to go there when it's a finished article, which maybe when you're about 35 or something, or you want to go there now. But what are they offering? It's what they are offering, what is going to set your future into the path of what the imagination you've got. Nobody in this world can answer for Kudus whether he should go or not. But he has to then decide what his personal ambitions are. Is it what you want to achieve in football, or how much you want to make after football? If it's about how much, Europe won't give you that much. As we've seen now, Saudi will probably give you that.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If you had to advise him, what would you ask him to do?
I'll ask him the same question. What are your personal ambitions?
He says, I want to become the best player in the world.
So you don't go to Saudi.
The sacrifice is drop the money for now. Okay. You can still make reasonable amount of money because you are very talented. Mm-hmm. You can play very well and make 350, 300,000, 350, maybe 400. It's a rarity. But if you back yourself and you trust in your abilities and you work towards it, you can make it.
Yeah.
And then with your ability and talent, we know how good you are. You can achieve what you want to achieve in football.
Yeah.
If you just, if that is not your goal, then we are looking at the money.
I mean, that's
an a tough one.
That's an interesting point because, you know, that response would have been debated if he came from a different player, wouldn't it? If you ask Kudus, what are your personal ambitions? And he says, I want to become the best player in the world. You would give him advice based on that because you truly believe that he's capable of being.
Yeah, he's got the potential.
Exactly. Yeah. If that response came from another player that had an offer from Sam, and he says, and you ask him, what are your personal ambitions? I don't want to disrespect any player, but if some player says, I want to become the best player, you slap them.
Yeah, because some players, they will never
become the best player. You can mention somebody. Like Rasmus Højlund. Rasmus Højlund. You can mention his name.
No,
yeah,
but
even he, go home to the look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself.
Even he has
the right profession.
Even he has got a European passport. Juve might want him. Napoli, some teams who will play in the Champions League by one game.
Yes,
and he might be accidentally a Champions League winner because he's playing for Juve.
Yeah.
You get it? But yeah, so he is. But Kudus is talented. He's got the ability. Kudus is a Champions League player. He might not necessarily go to a club that will win in the next two seasons, but he can play.
He belongs
in a
to
club.
That level.
He belongs to that level.
He has already played at that level.
Yeah, so I'm saying he belongs. What else? Yes, he's played it before, but he belongs there like season in, season out consistently. That is Kudus's level because he's that good. So when you're having the conversation around Kudus, you're thinking about what his personal ambitions are in football as against how much bucks.
Very analytical from your perspective. I'm going to ask Krantin though, hypothetically, what should he do if that offer comes?
If I was his family member,
yes,
I'll say he should go to Saudi because that one direct, I'll benefit. If he was my family member.
As a non-family member, you won't benefit.
No, as a non-family member, no.
You benefit from seeing him.
So
selfish.
Thank you.
Selfish.
No, and the joy he will give me in the Premier League.
Yeah, feeling it.
The joy seeing him at the very top of football. But as a family member, it's a money. No, seriously, it's a very, very difficult thing to answer.
It is.
But the thing is, because of his ability, you know he can get there, as you were saying. You know he has the ability to get there. For me personally, I think, from the money point of view, you can strike the balance if you're in a very good team in England. You can strike that balance because that 40% tax is not small.
No.
So if they are giving you like the Leicester City players, they say their average is like between 40. Like 80. Let me say that the highest earner will be like 80 there. No, you are a foreign national. That's 40%. That's a huge thing. But if you are playing for, let's say, Man United, who McTominay them were earning like 180, you understand?
They take 40% away, cry. It's still over 100.
It's still over 100. Like, it's okay. So, if he can crack it, and it looks like he's very close to that. Because if you look at how the top managers were speaking about him or have been speaking about him this season, he looks like he's just about getting there to the Arsenals or the Man City or whatever. And if he can hit that top, then he can strike the balance. And the next step is leaving England. Because I think Spain is like 27% or something.
Yeah.
If you go to Spain, you hit... Obviously, by the time he gets to Barcelona, hopefully they've balanced their books and now they started making some money. But obviously, Real Madrid is there.
Yeah, by the time Rodrigo make waste, quick school takes over.
Quick, and then that's some good money for him. But and I think you see,
you get BM every
whoever
year,
is handling him is handling him well, because Kudus gets some hard branding and aura around him. Like he's a superstar. He's not just a very good football player. He's a superstar.
I wish we find that video of what I said about him when he was moving to England. He speaks well. Mm-hmm. He's handsome. He's talented. And he's got a great personality. Yeah. And I said,
some arrogance.
If he takes care of himself, he'll be a massive marketing tool. So I wasn't surprised when West Ham started. You see him as a poster boy. You finding all the Ghanaian tracks to boost their TikTok pages and everything because he's so sellable. So sellable.
All right. You know? Interesting. Actually, you have thoughts on that briefly? I've got messages here. Should he go or should he not go?
Don't go.
Okay.
Don't go.
Simple as that.
Kudus is this close into exploding into something magical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can... Oh, every time he gets a good run, you can always see this at a bigger club. And imagine the reception on a bigger stage. And I feel that time will come. See, Saudi won't go away. yesterday we were in a conversation. I was explaining that what the PIF wants to do is long term. Now they've moved on from signing
overage
people
players.
Who people would pay to watch, right? They've moved on from signing brands to young players. So, and they are going directly to the source of where the big teams will get their players from. Last season, they went to sign Alexander from Fluminense. Brilliant footballer. Someone I thought is made for the Champions League. Mm-hmm. But they have the money. They took him. They took Jota, right? Right when he was very young. Moussa Diaby joined from Aston Villa last season when he was 25.
Then so young players so in the mold of Kudus.
That is the focus now.
I heard they are also interested in Mitoma.
Yeah. So that is the focus now. And it reflects in the sort of people they are hiring as their advisors. So from Michael Emenalu down to the guys from Southampton. Now, yesterday, Sijo was telling us about Brighton
technical
chief scouts now heading that. So there's a lot of thoughts going into the process. So it won't go up. If the fear is that this offer won't come back, then Kudus should forget it. It will come back.
Okay.
They are not going to...
Is it guaranteed, though?
No, I'm saying that it may not necessarily be as good as what it is
or
now.
Or in the same form.
But... For as long
but
as
you will get a retirement more. Package, is what
you
I'm saying.
That's it.
All right. Let me read some messages, guys. I think this season's EPL is one horse race. It's not competitive enough for Liverpool to lose it. Good afternoon to you guys. Liverpool will be champions this weekend. They just need to avoid defeat. This one says, all right, Habiba Fentu. Nana. Why are you calling me Habiba? If your duty is a waste of precious airtime, shouldn't you be told? Honestly, the roll call was hurting my ear. Left me, it will be skip, 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 skip. Talk about those who are serious with their sports, I beg. thank you for your message. This one says, good afternoon, Joyce Wells. So a lot of you have opinions on that issue. As much as some of us want the best for Ghana sport, the sad reality is that we keep reshuffling the same group of personalities from the same stables who keep running our sports in the same familiar way without any form of reformation or radical transformation, yet we keep hoping for the impossible. Please, let us get serious and get the right people to positively change our sports for the better. This is Prosper Komla Domenyo from Dakuman with that particular message. Hold on.
Me, I'm on the streets. I'm for the listeners. I'm on the ground. I know how they feel.
You are
how they
boy. You are an agenda boy.
Bro, I'm them.
No problem.
I'm them. Have you seen the messages?
Yes.
I'm with them. Listeners, I'm your guy.
Thank you.
I'm on the streets
right.
with you guys.
Yeah. This one says, I think Ghana is actually tilted toward football mainly because of our relationship with the British colonial authority, who loved and supported the sports, and also the decision of Kwame Nkrumah and his government, who pumped huge money into football. That one too is another matter. Kwame Nkrumah has come and answer why he spent all the money on football, neglected the other sports.
Wait.
When he did it, he won trophies.
But he also won boxing, world championships. Yeah. And he won world championships.
Yeah, and he won world championships.
So he says that governmental decision from those colonial days is still living with us.
It's become a culture.
Ask the ones who are pumping money and not winning.
It's become a problem.
Yeah.
Let me read more messages. This one also says, Nitojo from Temanitan says, Kudu should move. Make more money from Saudi. Too many saboteurs in the sports sector. Ni, thank you for always sending a message through. This one says, no wonder Ghana is being left behind in all sporting activities. Who cares who heads a sporting federation? Go to the other countries like Nigeria. They're already thinking into the future, like the 2026 Commonwealth Games and Olympic Games in 2028. Do you know they just gave about 7 to 8 Nigerian athletes $20,000 each grant to prepare for such games? What's the preparation we have here? Nigeria is bidding for the Commonwealth Games in 2030, and we are here. What's the future of sports in Ghana? And then... he said, there we go again, sports journalists. They've rather become football journalists than sports journalists. There's an ongoing African senior weightlifting championships in Mauritius, and a host of game plan is not even aware of the venue of the championship, Godwin, in North Kaneshi. Godwin, thank you very much for your message. Again, so you see,
which people did the stories he's referencing?
Obianin your opinion. Okay.
But we thank you.
I thank you very much. Good afternoon, my brethren. At the station, on the show. Fentu, save your breath on some of the leaders we have in this country, okay? The whole narration is that they're not ready to develop the country for our comfort, but to make us remain perpetually impoverished. I'm certain that one day we will have the choice of leader we all have been yearning for, and Ghana will work again. Yeah, Chris in a shaman. You know, I had a response for Yao. Is it Yao, Chris?
Godwin.
Oh, for Godwin. But let me just keep. So Godwin had the issues we spoke about from the Ghana Weightlifting Federation. I think he sent the message before we went into those issues. No problem.
No, it was after he heard the discussion.
It was after he heard the issues. Okay. And he chose that me forgetting where the competition is taking place more of a critical matter than.
Make us Yao, Chris sent message.
Yes. Yeah, Chris.
Over the weekend, they did their inter-district games. No. Uh-huh. And yeah, Chris's.
Our time is up.
Yeah, Ashaman. No, inter-district. Ashaman, Ashaman Fire Station. They won. Yeah, Chris is a DM. He did play DM. A double player. Double pivot with some guy. I forget the guy name, but the guy when it was like Rodriguez. I mean, like center of gravity. If he step from, you know, if he push out.
Bola.
All right, Godwin, thank you very much. Sisho, thanks a lot. Thank you, Danny K. Thank you, Achutamako. That's our show for
today. And climate change.
Up next is BBC World Service. My name is Fentio, Tahir Fentio. Do take care of yourself, and bye-bye.